Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Pubcast. Four of us on the show this week. Jim's here.
Big numbers this week.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Good.
In my pink shirt.
You are. As Mike said, you do look a bit like a gay bouncer.
I'm happy. If I look like a bouncer, that means I look hard, no?
No, gay bouncer.
Yeah, gay bouncers. Gays can be hard.
They can. That's Jim, everyone.
Yeah, Mike's here as well.
Mike?
Right.
People still want to see your face.
Well, I've sent a picture over to Simon.
I've just taken a picture as well, funnily enough.
It is going on the site, so don't worry. It is a cracker of a picture as well. We will get the story behind that once it's gone on the website and you can explain yourself. And Stu's here, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Back from the shits.
Yep.
Good.
Most certainly.
Half the team has been struck down.
A virus.
With Montezuma's revenge at some point. Right, okay, we'll kick off with a topical question. Andy Carroll, backstick, has had to move in with Kevin Nolan as condition of his
wild, isn't it? They both scored. Do you reckon they went to Kevin Nolan and said, "Oh, Kev, come over here. Little Andy Carroll's going to live with you." Little Andy Carroll, he's 6'4" and he's a monster.
I've just got this vision of like in the doorbell ringing.
Yeah, he's tiny little shorts.
He's doing a bit of washing up, opens it up, and Andy Carroll's there with his bags. He's like, what?
With a handkerchief on the end of a stick.
Turning up like the littlest hobo.
And plus, has Kevin Nolan got a wife?
And kids.
He has?
Yes.
The kids are waking up. Yeah, you got a new playmate. And Karen walks in tiny little shorts and some Conkers. What's going on in this world? Jesus.
They should have made him live with Joey Barton. That would have been a lot more.
That'd have ironed him right out.
They'd have ironed each other out. That's what they would have.
Oh, no.
Well, on that
topic, so Andy Carroll's had to move in with Kevin Nolan. If you had to move in with a professional footballer for a month, who would you choose to live with and why? Mike, you go first.
I thought about a couple. I thought about Javier Hernandez, especially after his heroics yesterday.
Chicharito,
yeah, he seems like a nice lad. See, my problem with him would be that when we went to put his name on his door, he'd have a moan if I tried to put Javier's on there. Yeah. I think there'd be some turmoil there. I also thought about Paul Scholes. He's quite quiet, so it'd be easy to live with, but he'd probably trip you over on your way to the...
Just the nasty tackle.
The toaster would come sliding through the kitchen.
There's not much better in football than a Paul Scholes tackle.
No.
There's not.
Apart from maybe Gary Neville tackle.
Well, Jack Wilshere is quickly moving into the same territory.
Yeah, but Scholes is just brilliant.
Good player, can't tackle.
Well, I've decided to go for Jisung Park. I don't know if you've ever seen the videos of him on the internet with Tevez and Evra.
No.
It's one of their birthdays and they're having a party, and they're just taking the piss out of Jisung Park. And apparently they used to play a game on flights where it's like, I think, rock, paper, scissors, and the loser got hit on the head with a shoe. And apparently they managed to trick Jisung Park so we always lost.
Rock, paper, scissors.
I think he'd be a good lad.
Just shoe hits.
I do like that.
It's brilliant.
Jisung Park so you can bully him, basically.
Yeah.
Stu needs to think about this. So, Jim.
Okay, this is topical for me as well because I've been looking for flatmates, potential flatmates, quite recently.
Yeah.
First of all, I'd like to say that it's really good that the Nolan and Carroll thing has actually worked out. They're getting on like a car on fire.
Oh!
Who's having that, huh? Stu, you having that?
The old one's the best.
He's writing his own material.
I considered Gary Neville just so I could move into the Teletubby house.
Scrapped,
I know, it's been scrapped. That's why I didn't get my okay in the end.
Got a nice swimming pool.
I went for ex-players as well, so Gazza obviously was a consideration just because I like fishing. And he'd bring me a warm coat. Andy Gorham.
Two Andy Gorhams,
yeah. So he paid double the rent as well, which I thought would be quite good. In the end, I think I'll go for Harry Redknapp as a manager. Professional manager. Just like to live with Harry.
See, I thought,
just to play the Wii with Jamie and Louise as well when they came around for Christmas.
I thought about Harry, but then I thought what he'd probably do is he'd try and negotiate you down on the rent. Then he'd get you to pay for...
He's a real deal, isn't he?
He'd get you to pay for a load of refurbishments before leaving you high and dry to move to a bigger flat.
That's true. And the last flat would probably be repossessed and go into some sort of court.
Move to your enemy's flat and then move back when that didn't work out.
So, yeah, I'm going for me and Harry.
Cool. I'm going for Jimmy Bullard. He'd be good for a bit of banter.
Non-stop.
He loves his fishing, and I used to love that fishing.
I bet he's really boring in real life.
I don't think he is.
My mate saw him in a pub once. Apparently, he was the life and soul of the party.
Yeah. What does that mean, though?
I'm not sure.
Is that a good thing or a bad?
He was there with Mike Pollitt. So,
Mike Pollitt, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think he'd be good for a bit of a laugh, and he loves going fishing. I love going fishing. I've been fishing for ages, so he could probably get me back into going fishing again. So I'll go for Jimmy B.
Stuart? Stu?
David Beckham.
David Beckham.
Just give me a right old laugh.
You just want to nod posh.
Me and posh would be quite some couple, actually.
Yeah.
Good reaction.
You've got the haircuts.
You're a very funny man, aren't you?
So why are you saying Beckham anyway?
Just, I think he's got shitloads of money. It'd be a right old laugh knobbing around in America with him.
Is it fair to say you didn't think of anyone before and Beckham's just popped into your head?
Beckham's popped into my head, but I think it would be quite good fun prattling around over there with Beckham.
Yeah. Cool. Right. Means you've got to move abroad.
I can do that.
Really?
I don't know if my passport.
I've never seen you outside of Kent, really. You went to Wales once and you nearly exploded.
Twice.
Twice.
Second time you nearly exploded.
Second time you pissed the bed, didn't you, Stuart?
First time
you pissed the bed.
Second time it gone down a little bit.
Yeah, good.
Not quite the reaction.
Right. So we've got Harry Redknapp, David Beckham, Jimmy Bullard, and Park.
Park, yeah. Jason.
Out of all that, I'm going with Park as well.
I think Park would be quite
good.
Right, okay, we'll look back at the weekend just gone. Mike, Manchester United, mate. First off, talk to us about Rooney.
Yeah,
gone
I just
this
say,
time last.
I have to say, I stand by it. I'm still a bit disappointed he's signed after the way he's treated the club. I think it's going to take a lot to get the fans back on side with him.
He won't. Do you not flog him in January now?
I don't think we will. Sorry, that's a problem. Very fickle fans, it probably will take
a goal.
The Norwegians will be happy, but... No, I don't. I can't see him being flogged. Maybe after another season, but hopefully, what it'll do is make the Glazers spend some money.
Yeah.
But at the weekend, we showed. I'd like to say that we don't need Rooney, but it probably showed that it's best we really do need Rooney.
So they did well to get a, when it went 1-1. I didn't think
I didn't think it was going to come back. But Hernandez looks like a bit of a predator.
He does.
Brilliant first goal. he looks like a lesbian.
No, Samir Nasri looks like a lesbian.
They'd make a lovely couple.
Surely United should have been down to 10 men, shouldn't they? Your golden child, Gary Neville.
Gary Neville can do no wrong.
All the Stoke fans were singing, if he played for Stoke, he'd be sent off. He played for Stoke, he'd be sent off.
I personally thought the first one he should have got the warning and then the second one. But yeah, if you book for the first one, it really needs to be booking for the second.
He got away with it as well. You saw the look on his face.
I enjoyed the way Fergie humiliated him by sending him out for the second half and then bringing him off before it started. You could actually see a mouth of you taking the pick. But Gary Neville's never going to go against Sir Alex. So.
And another thing from that game, Tunchai's goal.
Lovely goal, yeah.
How good was that? That was
should have been covered off, but
yeah.
How Walters gets in the team ahead of Tunchai, I'm not quite sure.
Stuart, QPR.
Can't win at the moment, can you?
Friday night, Bristol
can't
runs.
Can't lose, it's not a problem.
Well, so you can't, City, I prefer to say you can't win.
Can't lose.
First off, talk to us about this Briatore business, because I had a word with you last week. Flavio Briatore came out last week and said his dream when QPR get promoted is to have Marcello Lippi as a manager. Which is all well and good, but Neil Warnock's there at the moment. Yeah. You don't want to pee him off midway through
It's a problem, isn't it?
A half decent season.
Briatore's waiting to sell up.
Yeah.
He wants to get rid of his shares. I don't know, by creating a load of shit, I don't know that's going to help him sell the shares. But, well, the club have come out and made a statement that Warnock's not going anywhere. Warnock's taken a piss and said he's learnt Italian, just in case. I think we'll be fine. As going to the game,
you were convinced that you were going to lose that game, weren't you?
Yeah, obviously, they're bottom of the table, were top. We scored late on. It was Patrick Ajman, wasn't it?
Whee, go on, Paddy.
Just kneed it in on the line.
Yeah,
we had a couple cleared off the line as well. I mean, they had a couple of chances as well to win it. So, I mean, I think 1-0 was a fair result. Good travelling fans.
So Rapp was useless, wasn't he?
It's a shame. He's our captain as well, you believe.
Really?
Well, he's on the pitch, he is. But I think he's only there just because he's a little bit prettier than Sean Derry.
But 1-0 draw, still unbeaten.
Yeah, we'll take that. Going
is that
into
a club
the weekend.
Record yet? It must be getting close.
Yeah, it's club record, 13. And I think maybe coming close to almost the league record. If
Cardiff are playing tonight, aren't they?
So especially at the start of the season.
Yeah. Well, they'll be level United points if they win today.
Really?
Level points, yeah.
It's going to be a good division. A championship's always a good division, isn't it? It's always really tight.
Roy Keane's come out and written it off as Cardiff and QPR are going to run away with it, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know about that. There's always going to be teams coming. Sort of coming with a late run in that division. It's always so tight. Jim, were you at Gillingham on Saturday?
No, thank God.
You didn't?
I'm done with it, mate.
You finished it?
Yeah. I don't even like watching football now.
Alright, I've missed something here. What's going on?
Gillingham drew 1-1 at home to Torquay.
Which is bad news, because we have to win our home games, because we're shit away from home. That's been for 2 years.
Still no good away. But yeah, we want one there, like Cody McDonald with a fantastic sort of scissor kick volley. Really, really good goal. And it looks at that point that we were going to sort of hang on. 3 minutes added on.
So that's hang on to Torquay at home.
Torquay actually played quite well against us.
They get a man sent off as well.
They had a guy sent off quite harshly, I thought, for diving. And because he got because of that, there was an extra minute tagged on to the three that was added on. And in that last minute, they got a free kick on the edge of the box. They pinged it straight through the wall. Our goalkeeper made a complete fudge of it, went straight through him. And then that was the last kick of the game, 1-1. So a bit of a sickener. But yeah, so not the best really. But also at the weekend we had the FA Cup draw. Now with the FA Cup draw, obviously that, you know, the teams from League 2 and League 1 both go in with all the non-league guys who have gone through. And what I thought we'd do, in sort of the sort of spirit of the show, we're always adopting teams. What we'll do, we'll follow the FA Cup through to the final.
Like that.
So what I have is an envelope.
Just rustle it.
And if I give
I'll
give it to you, Jim. If you and Mike can conduct the draw, all we need is one bit of paper like that, and that's going to be the game that we're going to follow.
It's a massive waste there.
Yeah, no.
Considering we're only pulling out one.
Right, okay. If you like,
what have we got?
We have got Colchester United versus Bradford City.
That's the game we're going to follow. So what we'll do, we will, in time for the next...
Doesn't mean we have to go, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Good.
I'm not going to fucking Colchester.
It's a rough old night Colchester, isn't it? Apparently. Yeah. Good Quasar, though, I've heard.
Quasar.
Yeah, they're good Quasar.
There you go. So what we'll do, in preparation for next week's show, we'll do a little profile on the two teams.
That's who the Albino plays for.
Oh,
he shit.
He does.
He does.
They go miles.
Excellent.
And we haven't spoken to the Albino for a while.
And what we'll do, whoever wins that, we'll then follow their next game. And whoever wins that, will follow their next game, and we'll go all the way through until we get to the cup final at Wembley. And we'll profile the teams as we go through.
I'm happy doing this until we get Chelsea, and that's when I'm out.
Alright, so at the moment we just preview the game, and then we take on the whoever wins, we'll take that at their team. Alright, that's alright.
Yeah.
I hope Bradford win, I hate Colchester.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Colchester. But so there we go, Colchester v Bradford City, that's our adopted team. Right, we'll move on with our Fantasy 11 now. This week is our Comeback Kings 11. Mm. 11 players who have made some form of comeback or other.
We're basing this off the Rooney, the fact that last week
he needs to redeem himself,
got back on himself,
so redemption, comebacks, tenuous, good,
anything at all. So should we start with goalkeepers, just shout them out as you go? So
of course, Joe, who are you going for?
Paddy Kenny.
Yeah,
he was banned for 18
Vicks
months
or something, wasn't it?
Well, it was a banned substance that he put up his nose.
Pies.
That caused a problem.
Steak and kidney pies are not allowed up
your
nose.
He's come back 10 clean sheets in 13 games so far this season.
Cool. Jim?
I went for, well, I considered Carlos Roa. He didn't make a comeback. He just gave up football. But other than that, I had Paddy Kenny as well.
Okay.
I went for Nigel Martin, who got dropped by Leeds in England, spent a couple of years on the bench, then went to Everton and was
arguably
the best keeper in the league when he was at Everton for a good couple of years.
I do remember that, yeah.
I've gone back a little bit further than that. I've gone back to 1956. Bert Trautmann. He was a German paratrooper in World War II.
Broke his leg.
Broke his neck.
Neck.
In the FA Cup final, carried on playing.
Did he go to war?
He was a paratrooper in the Luftwaffe and got captured by the Brits. Was in a prisoner of war camp. Didn't go back to Germany. Decided to stay in England. Became a pro footballer. Played for Man City. Broke his neck midway through the game. Then made some crucial saves with a broken neck. And they won 3-1. FA Cup winner.
Why can't we do that anymore? Can't we just start a war with like Brazil or something?
Yes.
Just not
have
that.
Some of their people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there we go. So that's the goalkeeper.
Maybe that's what Bush was doing. Maybe they had some really good players out there. They're going to come up through the USA ranks.
Right, okay, who we got? Have we got fullbacks?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, who have you got as your left fullback? Mike?
I've gone for Edgar Davids, who's been playing there for Crystal Palace. He's been playing at left back.
And that's a comeback as well, isn't it?
Come back after 2 years, retired,
Stupid hair, stupid glasses. I've got him because he got banned for a little while.
It's yours, a drugs 11. Yeah. Good.
Stu's gone for a drugs 11, go on.
I think this is true. At Birmingham, Frank Cadru. was playing for him, and then David Gold came out and snorted him for being archetypal, sort of overpaid, not putting the effort in, and then he turned out to be their player of the season and the season after. Yeah. When
it
they
might
have been
David Sullivan, I'm not sure, it's one of them.
Okay, but it was definitely Frank Cadu. So he's my left back, which I think is a great shout.
All right, I've gone for Stuart Pearce. Missed a penalty in Italia 90, 6 years later, European Championships. Someone needs to step up and take a penalty again. He stepped up, did it. I've got him in for that. Right backs. Jim.
Nigel Riopoca.
Yep.
Wasn't him at right back again. He's a central midfielder.
Every week my 11's going to have Nigel Riopoca at right back.
I'm not a right back.
He wasn't getting a look in under Martin O'Neill, and he's going to be club captain now. Read in their papers today, he's going to be captain for next game back with Julio because what's his name? Petrov is it Petrov the captain?
Yeah.
He could be out injured, and it's going to be Riopoca. Stu, you're looking inquisitive.
He's obviously highly rated because he was captain at West Ham.
Yeah.
So he's
got a lot about him.
Just more people need to know that he can play right back.
Okay. And then,
look, Glenn Johnson, Nigel Riopoca.
Glenn Johnson came back from being Q.
That's with a toilet seat.
Yeah.
The print of the chase.
Yeah. Who have you gone for right back?
Just like you go for Nigel Riopoca every week, I've gone for Gary Neville. Simply for one occasion, I think back to the Manchester Derby last season when Michael Owen scored the winner. Gary Neville sprinted down the touchline to the Man City fans, started celebrating, then realising that he'd got banned for doing something similar before, star jumps to make it look like he'd walk off. Without thinking that United had used all three substitutes already.
Doesn't matter.
Right, okay, I still can't see the comeback.
You sort of turned it around.
What, the star jump?
Right, yeah, okay.
From winding fans
now I know why you said the word tenuous earlier. That's pretty much
it. Stu,
you got
this is the only one that hasn't done drugs. Jamie Carragher, because he played in the World Cup and was very red.
I've gone for Stephen Carr. He couldn't get a club after a load of injuries, and on December 1st, 2008, he retired from all levels of football. By February 23rd in 2009, he came out of retirement and signed a contract with Birmingham, who I think he's still playing for.
Yeah, he's doing it.
Played 28 league games for him last year, and I think he's still playing. So, completely retired, come back.
There is hope for Callum Davenport then.
There you go. Right, centre halves. Who have you got?
I've gone for Sol Campbell, who came back from pretty much Sunday league football to play for Arsenal last season.
Yeah.
It's a bit harsh on Notts County, but I'll let you off.
Yeah, for the way they behaved last season, he deserved it. And also Rio Ferdinand for coming back from his list, from Harvey Nicks. And for getting to do his drug test.
Cool. I've gone for Tony Adams. He was jailed for 4 months in 1990. He had a serious problem with alcohol after that. Reformed his character, became a bit of a legend for the Gunners, captained them, 672 games, never played for any other club. 672 appearances for Arsenal, and he captained his country. So, he was in a clink, and then he became an England and Arsenal legend. So that's not too shabby. Other one, Franz Beckenbauer. Everyone knows Franz Beckenbauer, legendary centre half. In the 1970 World Cup, he got through to the semi-finals, and he went down under a challenge and broke his clavicle, his collarbone, and he dislocated it. So he went off. He got the old bandages out, wrapped his arm up, and played the rest of the game in a sling.
So look,
he played the semi-finals of the World Cup with a broken collarbone
and his arm in a sling.
Shoulder.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So that's not bad for a comeback.
Bert Trautman would laugh that off.
Oh yeah. It is sort of small beer compared to Bert Trautman. Broken neck. Jim, who've you got?
Ledley King. Because he comes back every other week from a crippling
knee. Every two games he comes back.
Yeah.
The poor bastard is not going to be able to walk when he's like 40,
he's
going to
have arthritis.
Yeah. Well, I say poor bastard. He's on about 80k a week. He's not a poor bastard at all. And then John Terry, because he did a similar thing to Rooney, didn't he? He came out and was going to leave and was going to go Man City or whoever it would have been at the time. Mm. And then he came back, so you forget about that. And also, Terry had a bit of beef when he was a bit younger, didn't he? Along with Joni Morrison and a few other people at a hotel.
Yeah.
And he came back, he very nearly got shot out of Chelsea for that. Obviously, he was a good player, so they kept him. I think other players got sort of chucked out. They could have had futures in the game.
Yeah.
But Terry was obviously good, so they kept him. So,
Rio Ferdinand, drug ban.
Yeah.
Standard.
And Frank de Boer, drug ban.
Frank de Boer?
Yeah.
Did
he get a drug ban?
He did indeed.
Why?
It was overturned on appeal, but the ban was definitely there.
Okay, cool. Midfield now.
I love my midfield. I bloody love
I've had to pick a 4-3-3, so I've only got three midfield players. So, Mike, you go first. Who have you got?
Right, I've got...
He's just been looking at mine, so if he adds one of mine, I know he's
going to go off, isn't it?
For one of yours isn't a midfielder, but we'll get on.
Well, Rio Coca is a midfielder. He's in
Christ, at the back, yeah, he's so. Just shifting everyone back down
he's
the
playing
pitch.
A total football system. They can all play everywhere. It's fine.
I've gone for David Beckham on the right wing.
I've gone for
the amount of times he's been banished by England and Madrid and always seemed to bounce back. On the left wing, I've gone for Ryan Giggs, who miraculously used to make a comeback after every Wales international he missed injured to play the next week for United.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. Then in the centre, I've gone for Steven Gerrard for handing in his transfer request and then taking it back when some gangsters threatened him.
Those gangsters do a bit on Merseyside, don't they?
Yeah. You'd never catch United fans going round and standing outside a player's house trying to get him to change your mind. It just won't happen. And then also Alan Smith, who claimed he would never play for United and then went back on it and joined us and broke his leg.
Jim.
Okay, right midfield, James Milner. Up until January 2008, it would have been, he couldn't even get near Villa's team. And he got a little bit of a run, scored a few goals, and since then he's just been going up and up and up. So it's a comeback of sorts. Milner was a forgotten man. Didn't do much at Newcastle, went to Villa and was just in their reserves. And then absolute parked through. So he's on the right wing, left wing, and fitting just beyond the front two is Eric Cantona. As a Man United fan, I can't believe you didn't have Cantona in your team.
Well, he might be up front.
He's not. I can see
his
sheet.
Correct position.
No, he's not, or is he?
The King deserves more than some silly little 11. He's his own team.
He kicked a Palace's fan face, which I know Stuart was quite impressed with at the time, and still is. And then he came back and did a bit. I remember Liverpool won.
Scored one or two, didn't he?
Yeah.
He kicked him in the face.
And talking of kicking people, my midfield, Joe Barton. Forget now, he was completely out of that Newcastle team. They hated him, and he's now in there everywhere. I watched him play against West Ham at the weekend. He was quality. Absolute quality.
Yeah. He's on horse tranquilizers, apparently. Good. To calm him down.
To calm him down? Steve Gerrard as well was my other midfielder, which kind of feel bad. So.
Stu?
Lee Bowyer, drugs, marijuana.
Drugs?
Yeah, that's what he calls it. Stan Lazaridis, drugs.
Say no.
Stan Lazaridis.
If you just type drug ban into Google and just listed all the players.
It was close to that, yeah. On the Wikipedia, there's a massive list of everyone that's ever been banned from a sport for drugs.
I've gone for a three-man midfield. Probably one of the biggest comebacks, I think, was Bobby Charlton. He was in the Munich air crash. Eight of his teammates died. He was dragging bodies out of the wreckage. That was 1958. He won the World Cup in 1966. He won the European Cup in 1968. From being in a... absolutely terrible, terrible tragedy to then coming back and winning the two biggest prizes in the sport. That's pretty good going. Beckham, we've already spoken about, and Pele.
Pele was shit.
He kicked out of the 90s.
He was. Pele was shit.
He came back from that concentration camp, didn't he?
That's the best thing he's ever done.
He still played for Brazil.
I should have had Rocky and goal.
What's Pele famous for? Okay, when you think Pele, what do you think? The bank save didn't go in. The thing where he tried to score from the halfway line didn't go in. Hang on.
Winning three World Cups.
No, listen.
Scoring twice in the final.
I think about his
when
smile.
He was 17.
He was 17, he didn't know what he was doing. And the third one you remember before is when he dummied it around the keeper, went past the keeper and bloody missed the game.
Yeah.
I remember him for his smile.
I saw, right, Jake Bishop, our captain, did that on Saturday and scored. Beckham scored from the halfway line, that went in. And the other one, what was the other one that I just mentioned about?
Wayne Rooney can get an erection.
And the other thing he's not the save, right, everyone has good headers that are saved, you don't remember him. Andy Carroll put in one at the back stick at the weekend that was saved quite, no, it was against Rob Green, it wasn't saved.
Anyway,
that's my Pele rant over.
Dan can't be here this week, because he's got his arm trapped in a post.
Oh yeah, Dan posted a postcard to the wrong person, put it into the postbox, he's actually got his arm stuck in a postbox.
Needed someone to turn up with some low fat spread to help get his arm out. Anyway,
get well soon, Dan.
Yeah, Pele was he got kicked out of the World Cup in 1966. The Portuguese kicked seven shades out of him, declared he'd never play international football again. The manager Mario Zagallo called him out, managed to get him out of retirement for 1970, and he was the main man in the best football team I've ever seen. That 1970 Brazil side was unbelievable, and they won the World Cup. So that's not bad for a comeback. Strikers. Mike, who have you got up front?
Well, nice and topical, go for Wayne Rooney for going back on his word. And in fact, I might consider partnering with Colleen because she's taken him back.
That's a massive comeback as well.
His strike partner will be Alan Shearer, who it seemed for about three seasons on the run was ready to retire. And then when he didn't beat Jackie Milburn's record, he said, go on there, I'll come back for one more season, until eventually he trickled over the line and retired.
Okay, Jim?
You don't hold a grudge though, do you?
No. Bitter bastard term as Don Swans.
Okay, Marlon King, back at Coventry.
It's a massive come around, isn't it?
Yeah. Lee Hughes, who's done what Marlon King, the blueprint for Marlon King probably, to come back and score some decent goals. I know he did it at a lower level.
Yeah.
But Lee Hughes would get him, Marlon King won't. Didier Drogba, who's probably the blueprint for Wayne Rooney. Drogba was basically did exactly what Rooney did. Wanted to leave, kicked up a massive fuss, signed a contract, and now he's Mr. Chelsea again, isn't he?
I've got three strikers because I'm playing 4-3-3. Cantona, we've already touched on that, so that's okay. Neil Harris, diagnosed with testicular cancer in 2001, 6 months out of the game. He came back and was almost immediately sold by Dennis Wise, a lovely bloke. But then he came back to...
There's no room for sentiment in football.
Yeah, especially not if you're Dennis Wise. Anyway,
it's a footballing decision, isn't it?
Well, he came back after that. I mean, he had a spell with Forest, he had a spell with Gillingham.
And he was crap.
He wasn't very good for Gillingham. But he's gone back to Millwall and he started banging them in again. He's broken Teddy Sheringham's scoring record. And he's still in the first team scoring goals from now. So, pretty good.
Paolo,
but probably the best one. And this was the first one I found when I was picking the team. Paolo Rossi. Paolo Rossi, Italian striker, he was banned for 3 years. He was involved in, allegedly involved in a thing called Totonero, which was a very famous betting scandal in Italian football. And just before the 1982 World Cup, his ban had finished, just before. And the manager Enzo Berzot picked him. And it was a massive outrage. He hasn't played any football for 3 years, and he's got picked in the Italian World Cup squad. Then Berzot picked him in each of the group games. And in each of the three group games, he was crap. He couldn't hit cow's ass with a banjo. He was shanking them left, right and centre. And all the Italian press were after him. They were all after Bears. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? But they managed to get through. They sort of bumbled their way through. They then played Brazil in the next round in one of the best World Cup matches of all time. Italy 1-3-2. Paolo Rossi hit a hat-trick. Then in the semi-final, he scored twice and they won 2-1. And then they got to the final and he scored the first goal in the final. So from being absolutely dead and buried as a footballer, really, he came back, won the World Cup. Doesn't get much better than that, really. Stu?
I've got Mewtwo, which is obviously drugs, and now he owes Chelsea 17 million.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to take some coming back from.
These are two that aren't drugs. I thought they had to go in there. Cisse, because that's a broken leg. Like, he breaks his leg in amazing fashion.
Oh, that was one of the nastiest broken legs I've ever seen.
In amazing fashion. And he always comes back for him. Twice he's done it now, hasn't he? Just snapped him in half.
Yeah.
And then Fat Ronaldo.
Fat Ronaldo.
At Corinthians, after knee trouble and nightclub dramas, come back for Corinthians to score 10 in 12.
Brilliant. So we've got a fair few players here. Anyone else got any suggestions for that? Email us banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. We'll look at our adopted teams now. Mike, tell us about Northwich. Was it FA Cup for them at the weekend?
It wasn't. No, we're out of the cup.
Already.
That's a shame.
It's a bit of a mixed bag at the weekend because we only managed a 0-0 draw with Bursko, which apparently, according to Andy Priest, we lacked a cutting edge. But in better news, we did return to the top of the league on goals scored because Halifax were busy playing Mansfield in the FA Cup.
Right.
So, a bit of a mixed weekend. Tuesday night, we've got a bit of a grudge match. If you remember the other week, I was talking about Kendall Towns manager slagging off Northwich, saying they'd be nowhere near the top of the league.
Called him out.
We play them again. For some reason, this will be the second time we've played them already this season in the league. So we've got them at home, so hopefully we can turn them over and show Lee Ashcroft that he's wrong. And then next weekend it's Blackwell in the FA Trophy, the real FA Cup.
The real FA Cup. Alright, Jim?
Not great, let's be honest. Riverside lost 2-1. The only good thing is that we played against a porn star. Yeah, the other team had a porn star playing centre-back unreliably. Well, I say reliably, a bloke called Bungle told me, so it's not that reliable.
He's good in a box.
His name's Bungle.
He watches a lot of porn, though, Bungle.
He probably does watch a lot of porn, yeah. The ref was a bit of a comedian as well. The best thing about it was there was the Dingate Burgers afterwards. Went back to Dingate Ridge and had a burger there.
Okay.
Lost 2-1. Hastings drew 0-0 with Lowestoft. We can look at this on two angles, okay? The first is, they've now only won once in 11.
Right.
On the flip side, they've only had one defeat in seven.
I'll take that, one defeat in seven.
One in seven.
So let's say positive.
That's
one
fantastic.
Defeat in seven.
Yeah.
The kickoff delay was delayed by an hour because it was an accident, apparently. Mm, a bad accident on the A21.
Mm.
And the only thing, apparently it's a boring old-ass game. I read the report this morning and it sounded absolutely shocking. Lowestoft had two players sent off. And Lowestoft are top of the league.
Right.
So it's not too bad, but I mean, playing against 9 men, you expect to get a winner.
Yeah.
They're at home to Hornchurch on Tuesday. So they need a win. They need a win big time at the moment.
Cool.
So mixed bag. One draw, one loss.
Okay, Stu?
Super Farmers played Hercules 13th-14th this weekend. In the season, from what I can gather, I think they're both going to be in a bit of a relegation battle, so it's good to pick up points for either team. It finished 1-1 in the end. Not really much to talk about. Hercules' goal was scored from about, I don't know, about 30 centimetres off the line, and there was no goalkeeper or defender in sight. He just sort of, and he still did, he just put it in with his knee. He didn't really know what to do with it when the ball came across. So Crush has put it in with his knee, which is a bit disappointing for the Grafschap, I think, considering they were doing really well before then. So it's finished 1-1. Last three games have been draws, and the Grafschap now have 10 points in as many games, with AZ Alkmaar up next.
Right, okay, cool. And there might be a bit more news from the Eredivisie in a little bit.
Potentially.
Okay, to sort of round off a disappointing week, Peterhead lost 1-0 to Livingston, who are chasing for the title up in Scotland in Scottish Division 2. They only lost 1-0, conceded the goal from Robbie Winters on 62 minutes. Sounds like they battled quite hard. They seem to be a lot more in these games now. They're not getting beat by as many, but they lost. They're now back in ninth, which means they're in that little playoff spot at the bottom of the table. Next up, they've got another tough looking game. They're at home against Ayr, who are also pushing for promotion. That's next week. And an interview with Neil Cooper about the Livy game was it's on the website now at footballpodcast.co.uk.
In a league of 10 teams now, surely everyone's pushing for promotion
or relegation.
Yeah,
there's a bit of a
knocking
gap
on the trapdoor.
It wouldn't take you many wins to sort of push you up there. There's a
swings and roundabouts.
Yes. Right. Okay. We'll move on to Stu's news, and in shop development, you've got at least one story because I sent one. I sent you one. So
yeah. Well, you sent me. Done some research on it. Well, not there was much research.
Come on, then. Let's hear this research.
Well, PSV spanked Feyenoord 10-0.
Yes, they did.
Which is a problem, obviously, for Feyenoord.
How many did Feyenoord beat the Grafschap by the other week?
Six.
Right, okay. So looking forward to the PSV game then.
Well, at half time, they're only trailing by two, which isn't bad going, obviously.
A man sent off,
obviously, tabletop and PSV.
Right.
Unfortunately, they shipped eight in the second half.
That's bad news, because that's a massive derby.
Yeah.
That's like Man United beating Liverpool 10-0 or vice versa. That is big news.
They're not going to hit the last.
Yeah, so obviously, final whistle 10-0. A couple of comments. One from Mario Bean, who's the final coach, still in charge as well, not been sacked. This really hurts, suffering defeat like this. It was very emotional in the dressing room afterwards. And then, just to sum it up, Tim DeClercq, who's a defender, has added, it was hard to realise what happened.
I've got a little bit on Stu News as well.
Yeah, go on.
My man down at Hastings, basically, next to Hastings, there used to be a team called St Leonard's. There were 50 yards between the pilot field where Hastings play and the Firs, which is where St Leonard's used to play. On one occasion, in the mid-90s, Hastings had a millionaire owner. He won the lottery, put a little bit of money into Hastings, not much. And he publicised, they did a fans away coach from Hastings to St Leonard's.
No.
50 yards.
So they got coaches.
No.
They all got on a coach. He drove 50 yards.
He did the logistics. How much reckon has cost him to do that?
It was a PR stunt shirt. He knew what he was doing.
Stop it now.
I think everyone else knew what I was getting at, but you know, it was just a PR stunt.
I just thought a millionaire, twat millionaire, a bit like Briatore. I've got the history. Briatore would do that to go to the BBC or something.
And another interesting fact, added on to Stu News, Sasa Ilić. Remember the Charlton goalkeeper?
Yeah.
Did win in the playoff final against Sun. Saved Michael Gray's kick, or did Michael Gray miss? I can't remember.
Yeah,
he started his career at St Leonard's.
Eric's Australian lad, didn't he?
Yep. Well, maybe started his British career at St Leonard's. So there you go. Just thought I'd add that on.
Right, okay, we'll move on to our weekend predictions. It's the Tyne Wear Derby this weekend, Newcastle versus Sunderland. Stu. Newcastle versus Sunderland.
They had a good win at the weekend, didn't they? I'm gonna go 2-1 Newcastle.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
And Sunderland are playing around, I'm gonna say 1-1.
It's just so northern. I love it. Sunderland are playing like that, I'm gonna say 1-1.
1-1.
I'm gonna go Newcastle 2-0.
Yeah?
Yep.
I'm going for Newcastle to win 2-1. It's going to be a decent game, though. They always are, those games. So that's us done this week, except for Class or Arse, Mr. Staples.
Okay, Arse, I'm going to give you three options, boys. You can have a vote. I thought I'd mix up a little bit. First option for Arse of the week is Chelsea running away with the title. They now haven't conceded at the Bridge since the 27th of March.
That's nuts, isn't it?
In league games. It's like they've scored 40-odd times since, and they've not conceded for that long.
Yeah.
And they're just going to motor on. It's going to be no contest.
Yeah.
Second, Richard Dunn scored his eighth Premiership goal.
He knows where
this weekend.
Is.
Unfortunately, that's 8 Premier League own goals.
He scored one for his side.
Yeah, he scored a few. I've backed him. He's always about 40-1, and he's good in the air. And the third option, final, as we just heard, losing 10-0 to your biggest rivals.
Chelsea.
Right, Chelsea. One over Chelsea. Two over Chelsea.
Chelsea.
Doesn't matter what you say. It was going to be Chelsea anyway. So, I'll let you know. So, Arse of the week is Chelsea for being too good. Class is the FA Cup draw. We mentioned on it earlier, but it's absolutely brilliant. Some highlights that I picked out: Brighton against Woking. Brighton are the top team in League One, so officially they're the best team in there. Hive are playing Hereford. Hereford are bottom of the League Two. Yeah. Hive are the.
I'm going to go to that.
You should do.
I'm going to go to that.
It's right near you.
When's the weekend?
It's the weekend of the 6th and 7th of November.
Weekend after next.
That's fantastic.
Weekend after next.
Hive are the first. They're a Kent League team. Like, yeah. They're absolutely tiny. First Kent League team to make the first round proper in 53 years.
That's fantastic.
And they're going drawing at home to Hereford. AFC Wimbledon are playing Ebbsfleet, so they should progress from there. You'd look at it.
Yeah.
They're doing well in the league and Ebbsfleet aren't, so they should go through there. And Rochdale vs FC United of Manchester, which is fantastic.
Local derby.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a shame it's not the other way around with FC United.
It is, but I mean, they'll take Rochdale. Don't get that many at home. FC United, they'll probably take as many Rochdale, as many tickets as they can get.
Wouldn't be surprised if one of those, especially if the Rochdale FC United game isn't one of the televised games, actually.
Yeah, possibly. But like I say, if it was the other way around, it'd be more likely to be.
Yeah.
We've got a little bit of news as well for Gillingham, because we drew Dover. We nicked two of their managers in the summer, so that's going to be quite interesting.
And their coaching staff.
Yeah. So Dover
have got to get past the Farnborough on Tuesday night, but you'd expect them to, because they're at home. So
there are a class is the FA Cup draw, and the non-league teams battling through that, and Arse will be Chelsea running away with the title and it becoming a monotonous, boring run into the season.
It's not over yet.
No, it's not, but that's what I hope. Hopefully they'll hear this, they'll know their arses, and they'll drop some points.
We've got plenty more fun storms to come.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, that's us finished. Footballpubcast.co.uk is the website. Twitter.com/footballpubcast is the Twitter address. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/thefootballpubcast, and you can email us at banter@footballpubcast.co.uk. That's us done for this week. We'll speak to you again next Monday.